The Bill Shakespeare Project presents This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending Monday, July 21st, 2014. Hola, Bartophiles, and welcome to the 8th episode of This Week in Shakespeare, a podcast brought to you by the Bill Shakespeare Project. Remember, this is our weekly opportunity to let you know about the latest and greatest in Willie Shakespeare headlines coming at you every Tuesday. The goal here is to hit you with a quick blast. No more than 10 minutes tops of Bard-related news, plus we'll try to serve up some historical dates for what was the past 7 days of the year. So, this week's news stories included... As usual, we have multiple stories from Broadway World, including the extension of Drunk Shakespeare through mid-October, Shakespeare and Company offering 2 professional development workshops for educators, and the announcement by Cincinnati Shakespeare Company of their free Shakespeare in the Park tour presented by PNC, focusing on Hamlet and Romeo and Juliet in Lenox, Massachusetts. And as the summer season rages on, we had a number of reviews for current productions. The Sun-Times and Daily Herald both reviewed the Gift Theater's production of Othello in Chicago, Illinois, with the Sun-Times calling it tight and smart, and the Daily Herald intense and energetic. Examiner.com reviewed the production of A Midsummer Night's Dream by Shakespeare and Company, saying that the 1920s New Orleans setting was inspired. They also reviewed Shakespeare and Company's 7-actor Julius Caesar, calling it tight and revealing, and both of those are currently running in Lenox, Massachusetts. The Time Union reviewed a minimalistic take on Romeo and Juliet by Shakespeare and Company, where else in Lenox, Massachusetts, and they called it funny and tragic. Going to the opposite coast, the Stamford Daily reviewed the Santa Cruz Shakespeare production of As You Like It in Santa Cruz, California, declaring that it is magical and that it soars. The San Jose Mercury News reviewed The Merry Wives of Windsor by Santa Cruz Shakespeare, saying that while not all of the jokes landed, the production was smart and lively. Findy reviewed Hamlet by the Delaware Shakespeare Festival, calling the Wilmington, Delaware production enthralling. The Saratogan reviewed Macbeth at the Saratoga Shakespeare Festival, calling the Saratoga Springs, New York production winning. The Journal Sentinel reviewed Dorr Shakespeare's productions of both The Comedy of Errors and King Lear at Bailey's Harbor, Wisconsin, calling the comedy captivating and exceptional, but the tragedy less so. The Telegram reviewed The Merry Wives of Windsor by Worcester Shakespeare Company, calling the Massachusetts production uproariously 60s. My Edmonds News reviewed a 50s-influenced Two Gentlemen of Verona at the City Park in Edmonds, Washington, by the Wooden O Artists, and they called it delighting. The New York Times reviewed Shakespeare in the Parking Lot in New York City, but not very positively. The Deseret News reviewed the season's slate of plays at the Utah Shakespeare Festival in Cedar City, Utah, saying that Shakespeare isn't just good for you, but fun too. And then there were just straight news stories. The Easy Reader News ran a story of traveling troupe of Shakespeare by the sea as it brings Hamlet and Midsummer Night's Dream to cities along the Southern California coast. Theater Mania ran a story on Harlem Summer Shakespeare's offering of free performances of Romeo and Juliet. SeacoastOnline.com ran a story on Maine Stage Shakespeare, that's Maine with an E like the state, and their education outreach programs in Kennebunk, Maine. WFPL Public Radio covered Kentucky Shakespeare's record-breaking attendance. The Mundanak Ledger Transcript ran a story on Project Shakespeare and their busy summer, including Taming of the Shrew and As You Like It, while their encore of Hamlet has been selected by the Royal Shakespeare Company to be performed at Stratford-upon-Avon next month. Pretty cool stuff. Project Shakespeare is based in Jaffrey, New Hampshire. Counterpunch.com ran a story about how Shakespeare doesn't reflect progressive values and was really forced to peddle his time's despicable prejudices and illusions. It's an interesting theory. Too bad it's supported by so many pieces of evidence that are just plain wrong that you can't take it seriously. The Conversation ran an essay on the many depictions of Shakespeare in fiction. The Idaho Statesman ran an article on Dana Oland, the signer for the Idaho Shakespeare Festival, and how she brings the nuances of the theater to the deaf. WWNY-TV ran a story on the St. Lawrence Shakespeare Festival and its production of The Tempest. The News Ledger had a story on the No Kidding Shakespeare Camp for Adults at the American Shakespeare Center in Staunton, Virginia. The Deseret News ran a story on Utah's Shakespeare Festival being selected as a stop for the Shakespeare on the Road, a project of the Shakespeare Trust to tour the U.S. and explore why the Bard's works have continued popularity in our country. Mother Jones ran an article titled, Why Can't We Teach Shakespeare Better?, which asks the question but doesn't do much to answer it or even do anything else but ask it. Newsminer.com previewed the upcoming Civil War-era set production of As You Like It by Fairbanks Shakespeare Theater up north Alaska way. SILive.com previewed As You Like It by Staten Island Shakespearean Theater Company in Staten Island, New York. The Irish entertainment site RTE previewed a glam rock interpretation of A Midsummer Night's Dream, complete with music from T-Rex and David Bowie at Dublin's Castle. The Isle of Wight Country Press previewed the opening of the summer season at the Isle of Wight Shakespeare Company, including Twelfth Night and some workshops. The Bismarck Tribune previewed a futuristic Macbeth by Capital Shakespeare in Bismarck, North Dakota. The Times Union announced the opening of Macbeth at Saratoga Shakespeare Festival in Saratoga Springs, New York. NewsOK.com ran a story on the upcoming production of Pericles by Oklahoma Shakespeare in the Park in Oklahoma City. The Powell Tribune previewed Montana Shakespeare in the Park's Romeo and Juliet on tour throughout Montana. The Post Crescent ran a story on the 1800s set production of Romeo and Juliet by the Summer Shakespeare Theater in Appleton, Wisconsin. The South Bend Tribune ran a story on a cut-and-paste Shakespeare presentation called Shake Scenes at the University of Notre Dame in South Bend, Indiana. The Pampa News previewed the upcoming 1940s set production of The Comedy of Errors by Shakespeare in the Canyon in Palo Duro Canyon State Park in Texas. Upstate New York's HamletHub.com previewed the upcoming production of The Tempest to be performed at the Westmoreland Sanctuary in Mount Kisco, New York. And Syracuse.com previewed the upcoming production by the Syracuse Shakespeare Festival of Twelfth Night at the Thorndon Park Amphitheater in Syracuse, New York. Now let's take a look back on the last 7 days and how they relate to Shakespearean history, both his and the history of his plays. On July 15th, 1207, King John expelled the Canterbury monks over their support of the Archbishop of Canterbury, leading, ultimately, to his excommunication from the church in 1209. On July 16th, 1377, Richard II was coronated. Edward III died 1 year after his son, Edward, Black Prince of Wales, Richard's father, dies, so Richard was crowned king at only 10 years old. On July 17, 1453, the English lost at the Battle of Castillon, the last major battle of the Hundred Years' War, in a decisive French victory. It meant the English gave up all lands in France except for Calais. Talbot and his son were killed there, as depicted in the first part of Henry VI. On July 18, 1536, Parliament passed an act of extinguishing the authority of the Bishop of Rome, effectively voiding papal authority in England, following the creation of the Anglican Church 2 years earlier. This led to Henry VIII's excommunication by Rome in December of 1538. On July 19, 1950, Adrian Noble, famed theatrical director and one-time artistic director of the Royal Shakespeare Company, was born. On July 20, 1304, forces under Edward I took the Scottish stronghold at Stirling Castle during the War for Scottish Independence. On July 21, 1403, the Battle of Shrewsbury took place. As part of the Percy Rebellions of 1402 through 1408 against Henry IV, Hotspur's defeat and death there ended his revolt against Henry IV. During the battle, Hal, Prince of Wales, was hit in the face with an arrow and was scarred for life. And this all was depicted in the first part of Henry IV. And that was your week in Shakespeare. Been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project presentation of This Week in Shakespeare for the week ending July 21st, 2014. For our blog and previous Twiz episodes, including links to the stories we've covered, as well as the real Bill Shakespeare Project podcast, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com, and we will catch you next week.